and living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked,
"Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language?
Pakistanis, Arabs, Haitians, and the residents of Darfur.
Israel and Russia, Greece and Mexico.
Iran and North Korea, China and the parts of Ireland belonging to the United Kingdom.
And visitors from Paris, both Jews and proselytes, Germans and Arabs.
In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power."
All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?"
But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine."
But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them.
"Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this was spoken through the prophet Joel.
In the last day it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prosper.
Prophesy.
And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I shall pour out my spirit, and they shall prosper."
The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Maxine and Peter and Jack, could you all come and sit together up here? Maybe Judy wouldn't mind moving down, because I'm going to talk to them this morning. And I'm going to let all of you listen. But this is especially for them. Today, of course, is Pentecost. Today, of course, is the celebration of the birthday of the church. It is where we recognize that the Holy Spirit, which, if we thought about it, probably has always been with us, right? From the beginning of time. But now we recognize that the church has been blessed by this Spirit to do something. Today is the birthday of the church, and it is upon this day that we say all the peoples of the world could understand one another. The story of the Tower of Babel is that people could not, right? And suddenly now we have this image of everybody being able to hear one another and understand one another on this birthday celebration. I was thinking about birthdays, and I was thinking about how birthdays are a time that are really focused on us, aren't they? When it's our birthday, it's a special day. Typically, family and friends will make us the center of attention, which we kind of hope for. We kind of hope for some really good presents. We want people to care about us. We get a cake. We have to blow out candles. And we blow out the candles making a wish, don't we? I mean, our family, even with the candles, say, we want something good to happen to you. We want you to make a wish so that something wonderful will happen in your life. And all of our dreams will come true. Well, today's a day where we stop and we focus on the hopes and the dreams of the church. We stop and celebrate and reflect on what the church means to our lives. And so I was thinking about all the times from the time I was little, all the things that the church has meant to my life. What does it do for me? So first thing, I think it helps us be better people. Just in general, if we show up, we do even part of what we think is good, I think we're better people. I think it helps us not do the things that we know we're not supposed to do. I mean, it helps. It doesn't always work, but it helps. The church helps us find comfort in hard times. All of you have heard the prayer concerns. Some of you have been the center of the prayer concerns. Church is to reflect on God and what God is doing in our lives. It's I think also to be surrounded by people who also want some of the same things you want, who have some of the same goals that you have, kindred spirits, we call it. I think the church helps us learn to sing, to pray, and to sit still. I think I learned to sit still in church. But I want to say that there's one very important thing that should not ever go unspoken. It helps us to have fun and to eat junk food. Is this not a true fact? I mean, how often do you get a donut at home? Me, never. But here, always. So, the church has lots and lots of purpose. Some that I haven't made, some that you would name, that's personal. And they're all good reasons, because they're about us. Just like our birthdays are about us. But the story about Pentecost and the birth of the church seems to be more than just a story about individuals or about what people can get from it personally. It is all those things. I've been here my whole life, and I will tell you, and most of the people here would attest, that it is all of the things that I talked about. But it's so much more than that, more than what happens to us personally. The story itself is the image we have of people not just overcoming differences and language, but the church's beginning is grounded in a story where people really begin to understand each other. It is about the power of the living, breathing Holy Spirit to help people be church, to help them show and care and have understanding for each other that they might not have had before. You young people have grown up in a very different church than a lot of us grew up in. Very different. Some of us grew up in churches where I would not be up here. Things have changed tremendously. And you guys have a different understanding of culture. You go to school with all kinds of different people. Part of their confirmation process was they went to a mosque and they went to a synagogue. They did service projects. They have been exposed and told about other people who speak in different ways, who have different color skin, who have different beliefs. I was wondering, when I was thinking about what you guys have done and where you have been in this process, what if the church was a place where when you walked in the doors, you absolutely had to leave all your prejudices, your dislikes, and your distrusts outside? That they simply wouldn't be allowed in. That when you came in here, there would be no sexism. There would be no racism. There would be no homophobia. There would be no oppression of people with differing abilities. Where people of every color, where every ethnic group, where every belief was honored. Where everybody was a child of God. What would happen if that were the church? I want to tell you that I heard two things this week on the same day that made me think of this sermon. The first thing I heard was I heard a politician, and I normally don't get into politics and I won't mention any names, but I heard a politician say that we didn't need the American Civil Liberties Act, where people had got certain rights, and we didn't need the American Disabilities Act, that if a business owner built a restaurant or something, they shouldn't have to build a bathroom just for somebody who was in a wheelchair. Then the other thing I heard on the same day was on the radio, I heard John Lennon's song, Imagine. Imagine there's no heaven, it's easy if you try, no hell below us, above only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries, it isn't hard to do, nothing to kill or die for, and imagine all the people living in peace. No religion, too, he says. No religion, too. And I thought about the lyrics, and I thought, what if we imagined a religion where all those things that he says is the way the world would share and come together were here in the church? What if the church led the way for all of those things, instead of being a stumbling block, as it is sometimes? I know John Lennon probably was right in some ways. The church hasn't always done what the church should do. Your role in the church and your role in the future is always to develop personally on a spiritual level. And then what the church stands for is what we're hoping you'll stand for, and that is to fight for the dignity of every single human being, just as Jesus did. Here's what the one image I want you to carry your whole life, okay? I want your role in the future to be that of someone who is guided by the Holy Spirit to make sure every single person in a wheelchair has access to a bathroom. Does that sound silly? No. No. It is an image you'll never forget in a sermon, right? That's what I'm hoping. That you, as young people who have grown up in a different time, who will accept and love one another in ways that we weren't even taught by the church, that you are the future and the hope. Because today some decisions are being made by all three of these young people. They have all made a commitment. They went through, they did the study, they met with their mentors. And Peter and Maxine have decided to join today. Jack has decided he's ready or he needs more time or he has more questions. And I told Jack that we honored that because that's who we are here, aren't we? That is who we are as a congregation, that every single person who comes in here can struggle along on their own journey about what it is they believe, what God is doing in their life, and what their response is. And so all three of these young people are being honored today for the time and the commitment they made and for the decision they're making for their own lives today. And they've all assured me that they're going to keep thinking and seeking and wondering and asking questions. That is glorious to hear. And we're all grateful as a congregation that we have young people who are now going to lead us forward into a more inclusive and compassionate church. Is that what we hope for? Amen. Yes. For some of us older folks, you are the hope that the dream of God's world will come closer. We really do have that hope. No pressure, though. Just hope. I'm going to tell you that it's a humbling experience to be part of the journey with God, because it's a constant question. And there'll be times when you're going to be very frustrated with the church. I can promise you that. But I also want you to just keep on looking at it, figuring out how you can get it closer to what Jesus had in mind. And guided by the Holy Spirit, that which is living in the world today, you will not be alone in that process. You will be guided by the Holy Spirit. And what we want for you and for all the young people in our congregation is that you feel God's grace in your life every single day. That you will know that you are guided by the Holy Spirit, that you are not alone in any of the things that you have to decide, that any of the things that happen to you, that you not only have the Holy Spirit, but you have the blessings of this congregation and others in your life forever. And we also hope that every single morning you will rise, and you will rise with gratitude for the blessings you have in your life, and you will ask the question, what does God want me to do today? Amen.